ultimately, we're all dead men. Sadly, we cannot choose how, but we can decide how we meet that end. In order that we are remembered as men.
Happy New Year, and welcome back to Sean Hammer. Yeah, I hope you guys had a great Christmas, great New Year's, and, well, we're back at it. Let's go ahead and start with what the hell I've been doing. Other than putting together a Lego Millennium Falcon, I've been playing HeroClix, of course, as you have heard month after month of me saying something. But got some good news for that. And probably good news for both listeners for HeroClix and not. I started up, started working on a new podcast called Dial Talk Radio. It's going to be primarily HeroClix. So I will shut up about HeroClix on Sean Hammer. If you want to listen to HeroClix, you can check me out there at www.dialtalkradio.podbean.com. First episode will probably be up beginning of February. This will be up before that. Let's see, there's that. I got my War Machine models painted. I mean, not painted. I got my War Machine models put together. I started painting the Kador Jax, the Retribution. No, not the Retribution. The Protectorates of Minoth, the two Jax there, and the little shock troopers that came for the Kador. Now, like I said, I started painting them, didn't really care for the P3 paint, blah, blah, blah. Each his own. Don't send me any emails saying, hey, what are you talking about? Those are the greatest paints in the world. I don't care. I don't know a lot about War Machine. I'm trying to trudge through the book, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll end up playing it one day. But I've got the Shock Troopers painted. I ended up using an Army Painter Red, and I did the whole little thing where I painted the bronze, the silver, the black, and I dipped the sons of bitches in the dark tone from Army Painter. They turned out pretty cool. As good as expected for my first time using a dip. Some collection on some of them. I don't know. I didn't think that it'd run and drip and pool the way it did. But, you know, it's acceptable. I'm going to use this technique for my Grey Knights. But one thing I have learned from using Army Painter dip is highlight everything before you dip it. I mean, you can go through and touch it back up, but when I was painting the edges of the bases that I had some of the dip on, painting them black, the paint was separating a little bit. I don't know if there was a dip doing it or not. So, that's that. I also spent a long time trying to do some snow bases for him because I guess Kador lived like what's basically in Russia. So I wanted to do some snow bases. So I was looking online and everything, and ended up finding something where I can mix some baking soda with a little bit of blue ink, a whole bunch of glue, and you got snow. And instead of using baking soda, I used Snowflock because I already had it. It made pretty much a clumpy little mess, but I think it's going to turn out pretty nice. So I got them painted, so that's exciting. I've finished up today, actually, my third Krulligan for my Molly crew, and started painting on the Necrotic Machine, so not going to be too much longer before I get the Molly crew done. Let's see. Picked up an Insidious Madness. Picked up last month's White Dwarf, which I will not go over today, because today we will be covering the subject of last month's White Dwarf, and today it makes me a very happy boy. Let's see. The Mayans had it right. 2012 could be the end of the world, as we know it. Plug REM song there. But I think it's the end of the Warhammer world as we know it. So anyway, we'll be going over the new Vampire Counts book, which I'm very pleased with. Let's see, painted some of that, did some HeroClix, ran a HeroClix tournament, finished up finally a Lysander done up in Crimson Fist colors for my buddy Brian. I got my old Skaven Blood Bowl team back from Rich Quinlan. I painted up some ogres for him, and he gave them back to me. He named them the Cincinnati Sewer Rats. Full team of Skaven Blood Bowl. Can't complain. My paint job definitely has evolved over the years. And that's pretty exciting because I'm going to throw some wonderful Bedad Black on them or something, or a Devlin Mud Wash, and tone them down a little bit, and they like really kick ass, I think. So I put a before and after, just a little touch up, and I want to do something with the bases, you know, put the little field marking lines on and make them look footballish. Let's see, anything else that I've done? I watched Space Marine again, well, the Ultramarines movie. Let's see, haven't done any reading, went to a White Dwarf, drooled over the pictures, got the new Vampire Accounts book, drooled over the rules. Let's see, played some Heroclix, painted some War Machine. Oh, I got two winners for the, whatchamacallit, the Good Elf, Bad Elf, Sean Hammer Christmas giveaway. And I'll be giving those away. The two lucky recipients will be receiving those pretty shortly. So, all my listeners, keep an eye out for your mail. See if you made it as the good elf or the bad elf. Or good elf, I mean, good fanatic, bad fanatic. Let's see. Anything else? Nope. Got nothing else. So, that's about it since what I've been doing since last year. And, yeah, pretty much that's about it. So let's go ahead into, I'm not even going to browse over the old White Dwarf assignment worth it. Let's go ahead and knock open the new Vampire Counts Army book. Woohoo! Hardcover goodness. Shitty 80s picture. Well, this is not the best picture of a vampire I've ever seen. The inside cover that's done in red as the old cover for one of the vampire books, I think, is one of the vampire books. Is on the inside is the cover inlay. That's pretty sweet. As with all the new Warhammer Fantasy books, we have a nice colored book. Let's just skip to the whole thing. A lot of fluff in this book. I mean, a lot of people don't like the word fluff, but we'll live with it. A lot of nice, pictures. Nice map of the Vampire Count world. Lineage of Blood timeline. And then we have the rules for the Undying Hordes. Okay. First and foremost, we have Army Special Rules for the Vampire Count Army. Boys and girls, these are undead. Everything in a Vampire Army book is undead. Basically, same thing as they always were. They're unbreakable. They're unstable and cause fear. Let's see. They can't march move unless within 12 inches of the general or had the Vampiric Special Rule. Okay. Let's see, we have the Generals of the Undeath. If you slay the Vampire Lord or whoever's leading your shit, you know, they take the whole crumble thing based on your leadership, the unstable rule. We have Vampire Count's Battle Standards. Let's see. Normal rules for Battle Standards, units of undead within 12 of the Battle Standards suffer one less wound than they normally would due to the unstable rule or following the death of an army's general. Which is pretty much the same, except it doesn't allow you to march if you're within 12 of it. We have Vampiric. Though vampires thrive on dark magic, they are powerful beings, not easily manipulated by the necromantic spells, and are able to exist independently of the animating will of the general. Whew. Models with a Vampiric special rule never suffer wounds because of a destroyed general unless they join a non-vampire unit they are in and makes much such moves as normal. Let's see, Resurrecting Fallen Warriors, pretty much the same from the last edition. I might have glanced over it too quickly, but if I screwed up, I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and do a unit overview. We have some vampires. Six stats, sick. High weapon skill, great ballistic skill for some odd reason, high toughness, couple wounds, initiative 7, attacks 5, leadership 10, infantry character. Vampire lords are wizards. I can use lore of vampires, lore of death, or lore of shadows. They're undead, and they're vampiric. Plus, they have the hunger. When a character with this special rule kills one or more enemy models in combat, roll a d6 at the end of the close combat phase. On a roll of a 6, the character... At the roll of a six, at the end of the combat phase, the character recovers a single wound lost earlier in battle. So they kind of got their own like little regeneration thing, a little bit happening. We got necromancers, which I miss the good old days when the necromancers used to be self-sufficient warriors. But they don't. Let's see, they're magic necromancers, and master necromancers are wizards and use the lore of vampires or lore of death. They're undead as well, and they have Master of the Dead. The Necromancer is able to use Invocation and Heat Spell to increase the Skeleton Warriors beyond their starting size. Don't get me started. I'm going to go in a little spaz again. As I recall, my first podcast I ever did, I went over vampires, the vampire counts, and now I'm going over it again. And I think I'm going to have pretty close to the same bitches. We have the White King, Killing Blow, Undead. Same thing. Pretty good. We have Karn Wraiths, which we've seen these popping up in the White Dwarf. Let's see. Infantry, they're Ethereal, Terror, and Undead, and they have the Chill Grasp. A Wrath, it can substitute all of its attacks, which would be three in this case, for a single Chill Grasp attack. The Wraith makes a single attack. If the attack hits, it will automatically wound. No armor saves are allowed against the Chill Grasp attack. I guess if you need it, it's there. Next up, we have the ever so faithful and very, very prevalent Tomb Banshees, which we'll see more in this book. I don't know. I'm going to call it, I know that's not the proper words, but I'm going to call it Banshee Spam. Special rules, we've got Ethereal, Terror, Undead. You have the Ghostly Howl. Attack range 8. Needs line of sight to the target, though. If the Tomb Banshee is engaged combat, or Ghostly Howl can be used in targets you're in base contact with. You roll a 2d6, add plus 2 for each point which the exceed. You do 1 wound with no armor save allowed. Pretty much close to the same. Same old build. Tomb Banshees. Pretty cool. Next up, we have a new vampire. But old vampire, if that makes sense. We have Strigoi, whatever, Ghoul King. This guy's a little bit beefier, less magically adept vampire. He has poison attacks, regeneration, plus 5. He's got the hunger, and undead and vampiric. He's got infinite hatred. He hates everybody. He has a hatred special rule. However, they may reroll failed wounds to hit in every round of combat, not just the first. So this guy's needs a therapist. And he's going to be on top of my terror, guys. Yeah, simple as that. Next up, we have Crypt Ghouls. Not really much changing from their stance or what to do, so we'll go ahead and flick the page. We have zombies. Pretty much same stats as what they were. Always strike last, undead, newly dead. Same thing with Invocation to Heek. We have Skeleton Warriors. Infantry, undead, no stat changes, as you would never expect from a skeleton warrior, but we'll get to goodness in a bit. Direwolves, same thing, slavering charge, undead, vanguard, though they have the vanguard special rule. We have bat swarms. This is where the neat little thing has come. They're swarm, they have hover and undead, but they also have the cloud of horror. An enemy unit in base contact with one or more bat swarms has always strike last special rule. I love it. I like Bat Swarms. One of the coolest models, base models out there and stuff. So, at least for the undead. So, I really enjoy them. We have the Fell Bats. Basically, no change there. They fly undead. And their troop choice is War Beasts. We have the Grave Guard, which I didn't really do my homework and check it out. But these guys are running around with Toughness 4, Strength 4 now, Movement 4, Weapon Skill 3. Killing Blow, Undead, Infantry. We have the Black Knights, which these guys are basically whites, Grave Guard on horses. They have Killing Blow, Rider only. They have Spectral Steeds, and they're undead, not changing too much, except for the amazing sculpts. Next up, we have the Corpse Cart. Troop Tight, Chariot. Vigor Mortis. Not really changing too much. Corpse Cart is a Corpse Cart. Next up, we have the Spirit Host. Ether Undead Swarm. Basically the same. Okay, now we got some new goodies. We have the Crypt Horrors. These are basically ogre-sized ghouls. They're coming in with movement 6, weapon skill 3, noblesse skill, 4 strength, 5 toughness, 3 wounds, 2 initiative, unfortunate, 3 attacks, 5 leadership. Monstrous infantry, poison attacks, regeneration plus 5, and undead. Not bad. And I'll go over that when I go over the models. Next up, we have the Vargeist. These are big bat creatures with movement 4, weapon skill 4, 0 ballistic skill, strength 5, toughness 4, 3 wounds, 4 initiative, 3 attacks, 7 leadership. These guys are monstrous infantry. They fly, they frenzy, they're undead, and they're vampiric. They're big. They kind of look like... kind of look like the Vargoth a little bit, but not quite. Next up, we have the Vargoth, which I'm glad to see that they didn't take out. Hatred, regeneration, terror, undead, vampiric, beast of furies, the same. We have Blood Knights, the same, except they have a magic item inside of their unit description that only they can take, and they can only upgrade them to that, I suppose. We have Black Coats, is pretty much the same, except for dealing with their sucking on magic power, magic dice, compared to what 8th edition needs it to do. Next up, we have a new unit, which I think is the favorite unit of mine from the book. These are the Hex Wraiths. These are Wraiths on horses. They have movement 6, but they're on horses 8, weapon skill 3, strength 3, toughness 3, 1 wound, 2 initiative, 1 attack, 5 leadership. They're ethereal, fast cavalry, terror, and undead. Cheap choice cavalry. Now, that's cool. You know, it's just like, oh, well, yeah, they get some fast cavalry. No big deal. But these guys are... they have the Soul Reapers. Attacks made by the Hex Wraith and all Hell Wraiths, which are the leaders for the unit, in close combat are magical and have the flaming attack special rules and allow no armor save. Bonus. What do we got next? We have the Soul Riders. Hex Wraiths and Hell Wraiths can move through unengaged units, whether friendly or enemy, during the remaining move sub phase, but cannot end their movement within 1 inch of another unit. Okay, these guys can get where they want to go. Next up, they have the Spectral Hunters. If a unit of Hell Wraiths moves through one or more unengaged enemies in the remaining move subphase, nominate one of those units. That unit immediately suffers a strength 5 hit per Hex Wraith or Hell Wraith that has passed through it, distributed shooting attacks. These hits are magical, had the flaming attack special rule, and no armor saves allowed against them. This is freaking brilliant. Let's see. They automatically suffer. I mean, you don't even have to roll. You just say, oh, you take a 5. Here, I got 5 Hex Wraiths. You're taking 5 strength, 5 flaming attack, magical wounds. Suck it, bitch. I was like, all right, I'm happy. Next up, we have the Terrorgeist. Big Dragon. Regeneration 6, Terror Undead. It's got the Death Shriek. I'm not familiar with the old rules, but the Shrek, Death Shriek I found... Pretty cool. It's basically a Banshee Howl, but you roll 2d6 and add the number of wounds on the Terrorgeist. This guy starts off with 6 wounds, so he could possibly roll 24 and subtract that many wounds from a unit. Beautiful. Let's see, he's got infested. Let's see. When he's moved as a casualty, all units in base-to-base contact suffer 3d6 strength 2 hits. And Rancid Maw. Terrorgeist has an upgrade to poison attack special rule. This does not affect this Thunderstomp. All throughout this rule, all of these rule book, it all goes through about how Thunderstomp is affected by this. Thunderstomp is affected by that. I think somebody's trying to be a little douchebag and say, oh, I get this from my Thunderstomp. Sorry if I offended you. Let's see. Zombie Dragon. No virtual change. We have Nightmares, Hell Steeds, Skeletal Seeds, Abyssal Terrors, all the same, except Abyssal Terror can get a Sword Claws and a Poisonous Tail upgrade. Let's see what else we got. Oh yes. Then we have the Gem of the Army. This is a one model, can make 2 different thing box set. It can make a Coven Throne, which will be a chariot for a character. It is a beautiful model. I can't explain it without actually looking at a picture. We'll go over it next. Special rules. Let's see. It's got two pallid handmaidens. Coven throne. You're going to throw your vampire on top of it, so it's a mount. Spirit horde. It's got movement 8. 3 weapon skill. Let's see. 3 strength. Initiative 1. 2d6 attacks. It always strikes first. Pallid handmaidens only. It's got armor saving plus 5. It's a chariot. Large target. Random attacks. Spirit horde only. Spectral Steeds, Undead Vampiric, Ward Saver 4+. It's also got a Battle of Wills special power, which would basically can turn an enemy onto itself. Then we have the Mortis Engine, which is a model that the same kit that the Coven Throne can make. Pretty much the same stance. It's got large target, random attacks, regeneration, Spectral Steeds, Terror, Undead. The other one does not cause terror, but this thing can do a ghostly howl because it's got banshees flying all around it, so that's cool. You can have some more banshees screaming. Never heard anything but your enemy. Let's see. It's got the reliquary. At the start of enemy turns, roll a 2d6 and add the current turn number. Let me speak English. This is the range of the reliquary's Dark Aura. All enemy units within range of the Dark Aura immediately take 2d6 hits. Take a d6 hits with a strength equal to the current turn number. Also place a marker next to all friendly undead units within range of the Dark Aura. These units' regeneration saves improved by 1. If they don't have one, they get a 6+. Finally, if the 2d6 was a double, then the fell energies, blah, 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 suffers 1 unsaved wound. When the Mortis Engine suffers the last unsaved wound, every model or every unit within 12 plus the turn number in inches, friend or foes, takes a 2d6 strength with equal to the current turn number. So that's pretty bad. let's see. It's got Blasphemous Tome. All wizards, friend or foe, within 12 inches. One or more, gain plus 2 casting result when casting from the Lore of Vampires. If any wizard miscasts within 12 inches of one or models, with one or more models with Blasphemous Tome upgrade, he must roll twice on the miscast table. Then the miscasting player's opponent chooses which result applies. So, don't know how I feel about that. Next up, we have some vampire characters. We have Vlad Van Karstein, Isabella Van Karstein, Manfred Van Karstein, Acolyte Van Karstein, Conrad Van Karstein. We have Hendrik the Lichmaster Kimmler. Hello, Hendrik. I'm not going to go over him right now. We'll go over in a little bit. We have Lord Krell, Lord of the Undeath. Sweet looking model. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back, and I will go over the lore of vampires, vampiric powers, magic items, and point costs, and beautifulness of this army. All right, and talk to you soon.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Hey, I'm Luke.
And I'm JJ.
And we're the guys from World's End Radio. When we're not playing games
or lying to our wives about it,
then we're going to the ends of the earth to bring you the latest content on all aspects of the Games Workshop hobby.
And a few other worlds besides.
So come find us at www.worldsendradio.com.
Or subscribe to the show through iTunes.
Thank you. for the BS. Join me and my list of guest hosts at theimperialtruth.blogspot.com.
All right, we are back, and let's start off with the vampire lore of the vampires. First of all, they got the Curse of the Undeath, which is their lore attribute. When a spell from Lore of Vampires is successfully cast, the wizard or another friendly model within 12 instantly recovers a single wound. Signature spell, we got the Invocation to Heek, basically the same as it has been. 12 inches, casting cost of 6, you boost up to 18, and 18 plots for dice. At Van Hell's Dance Macabre. Augment spell targets friendly undead unit within 12. Target rerolls fail to hit wounds in close combat until the start of the caster's next phase. In addition, if the target is unengaged, it can immediately make a move up to 8 inches in the remaining submove phase. We have Hellas Vigor, cast of 8 plus. Target undead unit within 12. The unit rerolls failed to wound rolls in close combat until the start of the caster's next phase. And you can, let's see. The wizard can choose to have the spell target friendly undead units within 12. If it does, is increased to 16. Let's see. The target friendly undead units within 12, rerolls failed. Okay, I think. Anyway, my bad. Anyway, let's go with the Gaze of Nagash. 2d6, strength 4 hits. You can magic missile 24. You can boost it to 48. Raise dead. I'm still upset that you can't raise freaking skeletons. I get it. You know, they give you brand new skeleton models in the last edition. We got these butt-ass ugly zombies, but let's make it so you can only raise zombies to force the models, force you to buy these hideous models. Okay, off of that, we have Curse of the Years. It's a hex. Range of 18 when cast. You roll a d6 for every model in the unit. Target of 6. The model suffers 1 wound. No armor saves are allowed, and which is pretty cool. Next is at the end of the next magic phase, roll again for each model in the unit, and they suffer 1 and a 5, and so on, to maximum 2 plus. So this is effective on your opponent's turn as well. Let's see, you have your big undead spell. We have Wind of Death, remains in play. Wind of Death, magic vortex, use a small round template once a bit. Let's see, any unit beneath or passed over by the template takes a d6 strength, 3 hits for each rank and model. Rank of models and a unit with no armor saves allowed. If the result is of their artillery dice is a misfire, send a template on a caster. We roll the scatter dice. Template moves a number of inches equal to roll. If a hit is rolled, the small unit arrow. Anyway, you can boost up to use a large template for 25 plus. I was hoping we see a little bit more change of vampire lore spells. Pretty much, this is basically what we had. Vampiric powers. Let's see, we have Master of the Black Arts for 75 points. Allows the vampire to reroll one of the dice when he's determined the strength of the winds of magic. We have Curse of the Revenant for 55. Has a plus 1 wound. Red Fury, the same, 50 points. Flying Horror, 30 points, same as it was. Quick Blood, vampire has to always strike first. Special rule, 30 points. Orb of Dark Majesty, 25 points. Same as it was, a negative 1 penalty to leadership. Dark Acolyte, 25 points. The vampire adds D3 to the casting total whenever he successfully casts Invocation of Nahik, regardless of the casting value chosen. We have Forbidden Lore, 25 points. The vampire can generate his spell from any of the lores in Warhammer Rulebook, except the Lore of Life. Guess that makes sense. We have the Supernatural Horror. 25 points. The vampire has the terror special rules. 20 points. We have the Fear Incarnate. Fear test caused a vampire or his unit that had been passed by enemy to be rerolled. Let's see. Beguile. Same as it was in the last edition. 15 points. Master Strike for 15 points. The vampire may exchange all of his attacks for a single attack with a heroic killing blow special rule. Pretty cool. We had Dreadknight for 10. Vampire is a +2 weapon skill. In addition, unless he's part of a combat containing Crow or vampiric powers with higher leadership, he always misses you a challenge. And we have Summon Creatures of the Night. 10 points. The vampire can use Invocation the Heat spell to increase the Direwolves, Bat Swarms, Fell Bats beyond their starting size. Alright, cool. You know, we got the vampiric special powers, and it took me a year or 2 years to get used to the fact that I'm going to have to deal with ghouls. Where's my freaking ghoulkin power? Thanks a lot. You give me a Strigoli vampire, you give me a Terrorgeist, you give me a large unit of super ghouls, but you take away my ghoulkin. What the hell? Okay. Next up, we have magic items. As for all the Warhammer rule books, we're not going to have too much. We have one magic weapon called Scabscrath. Scabscrath? I don't know. 75 points. The bearer has a devastating charge special rule, frenzy special rules, and close combat attacks by the bearer have the flaming attack special rule. In addition, the bearer has the death shriek special rule. Pretty cool. And finally, if the bearer has not killed an enemy model in close combat, when the game ends, he's removed as a casualty. I'm not saying this is a big deal, but I guess it could be. We have the Knight Shroud for 40 points. Gives a +1 of the bearer's armor save. Enemy models in the base contact have the always strike last special rule. Pretty cool. Necromancers can wear that. We have the Banner of the Barrels. Pretty much 50 points, +1 to hit in close combat. Unit of white. Screaming Banner, pretty much the same it was. One extra dice, take the two, discard one of the lowest, 25 points with a Black Paraffin. This allows the bearer to save up to two of his army unused power dice or dispel dice at the end of any magic phase and then add them to his side's power or dispel dice at the start of the next magic phase. Staff of Damnation, 40 points. Bound spell, power level 4. If cast successfully, this item casts an augment spell. All friendly undead units and their mounts within 6 inches gain an extra attack special rule to start of the next magic phase. Pretty cool. We have the Cursed Book, 35 points, roll a d3, power dice pool, and it's allowing you to play one of 6 different spells. 1 from the Lord of Shadows, 3 from the Lord of Shadows, 2 from the Lord of Death, and 1 from the Lord of Heavens. Yeah. Book of Archon, bound spell, 25 points. You can cast Van Hell's Dance Macabre. And we have the Rod of Flaming Death, 40 points, bound spell, power level 3. If successfully cast its item, cast a magic missile with a range of 18 that inflicts d6 strength 4 hits with a flaming attack special rule. Any unit taking unsaved wounds from this immediately takes a panic test. But this is pretty cool. Furthermore, if the target unit moves for any reason during its next turn, every model in the unit suffers immediate strength 4 hit after which the spell effect ends. If the unit does not move, it ends at the start of the Kessler's next magic phase. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Those are the magic items. Let's see. Okay, let's get into points. For Lords, we have the special characters. I'm not going to spend too much time on those because no one really lets you play with special characters anymore, especially in tournaments or anything. First up, we have Necromancer, 165 points. Pretty expensive. You can replace the Corpsman on a Corpse Guard. Give her out Abyssal Terror. Not too bad. Let's see. We have a Strigoi Ghoul King, 260. He can, mount it on Terrorgeist, which I think is the only option, for 225 points. He can take a magic items of 100 points and 100 points of vampiric powers. Pretty cool. Let's see. We have a whole bunch of hero special characters. We have a Necromancer for 65 points. Basically the same thing with the Corpse Master. We have Vampire for 105. He can go ahead and be mounted on the Coven Throne, he or she, Bard of Nightmare, Hellsteed. 50 points for magic items and
Vampiric powers. I skipped a lord, the vampire lord. 220 points. He can ride on top of the cover and stuff like that, too. All the zombie dragon. Let's see. The only one that can be on the Terrorgeist is the actual Ghoul King. We have the White King, 85 points. Skeletal Steed. That's about all he can be on. 50 points magic item. Be Army Standard Bearer for 25 points. With Karn Wraith for 60. Tomb Banshee for 95. Character Mount Special Rules. No big deal. This is where I want to get to. Core units. Zombies are now 3 points per model. And making that a little bit better. I don't think they should be as much as a Skaven. Especially since you're forced by a crappy looking model for your one of your coolest spells you have. Skeleton Warriors drop to 8. I mean to from 8 to 5 points per model. And they have hand weapon, light armor, and shield, and you can equip them with spears for free. Not too shabby. Crypt Ghouls, 10 points still. Dire Wolves, 8 points. Corpse Cart, 90, and now it's a special unit. Graveguard, 11 points. I think they drop 3 points per model. Black Knights, 21 points. Crypt Horrors, 38 points per model. Fell Bats, 16 points per model. I believe they fell. Bat Swarms, 35 points. Per base, they definitely dropped in price, and I like them. Spirit Host, 45, they dropped in price. Hex Wraiths are 30 points of goodness. Vargeist on the Flying Bat Creatures, 46 points. With Vargoth for 175 points, he stayed the same. Blood Knights, I think, believe stayed the same. Karn Wraiths are the same. With the Banshee upgrade, the same. Black Coach, without looking at it, I think it's a little cheaper or a little bit more expensive. It's 195. Terrorgeist, you can take as a rare unit by himself for 225, and you can have the Mortis Engine for 220. So that's about it. I'll take a minute to go over things, and we'll discuss viable options for the armies, my thoughts in general of the whole, and the look of the army. I mean, that's pretty important on this one. And talk to you in a minute. Okay, we're back again, and let's just go over my views of stuff over the book. First, let's go over the models themselves. Flick to the pages. Well, let's start with the book. For one, is the book really worth, how much? $41.95? Probably not. I hate to see army books be so much. I think they're, I see no reason for Games Workshop to really go hardcover. Some people might disagree, but yeah, just myself. I spend a lot in models. To actually spend that much on a book, it's kind of daunting. So let's go through the models. There's a lot of reprinted models in here. There's the Manfred, the Vampire with the wings. That's going to be fine cast, probably. Vlad, Conrad, the old chick holding the skull. They'll all be fine cast. There's a new Isabella von Karstein. She's pretty sweet looking. She's a lot better than the old one. Everyone's seen the new zombie dragon that's been out a couple of white dwarfs, quite a few white dwarfs ago. As for the coven, Throne. This is a dual plastic kit that can either make this or the Mortis Engine. I think this is a fantastic, fantastic model. It's being held aloft by a whole bunch of spectral beings. I don't know. It's pretty cool. One way or another, most Vampire Count armies are going to see this in there, so it's definitely worth it. We have the old, not old, but the plastic Necromancer that was released. An old picture of the metal one and the Hendrick, which would be fine cast. Next up, we have the Black Knights and the Hex Wraiths. These two kits are actually one. You can make the Hex Knights. I mean, the Hex Wraiths or the Black Knights. It's pretty cool. I like the versatility. You know, one kit doing both pieces, having some extra bits and stuff. It's pretty cool. Definitely a lot cooler than the old heavy cavalry I have. So, if anyone wants to buy some painted heavy cavalry, I have a unit of 10. Nicely painted. Not going to use them anymore. The White King, he's going to be a plastic kit, just like the Necromancer. So, that'd be pretty cool. Of course, the grave guards are reused. Krell, Lord of the Undead, he's really cool looking. He actually looks like he's supposed to be as a Chaos Warrior, but I'm really fond of my old Krell that I have painted, and he's got a Misfits back banner, so I'm not going to mess too much with that. The skeletons are the same as they came in the 7th edition. Cool looking, but nice to see him. It'd be nice to see the skeletons be able to be raised with the Raised Dead spell. I think you get a little bit more use out of it. The corpse cart, the same. The direwolves are the same. Not particularly fond of them. I still like, I have a whole bunch of wolves that were the goblin wolf rider wolves painted up. Kind of like the living embodiment of a direwolf for my taste, especially when I'm doing my aristocratic vampires. But I'll probably paint up my my unit of, I guess, new direwolf, so I can have something to go along with maybe Strigoi. You have zombies, which they look pathetically stupid. The Terrorgeist, which is awesome with the Ghoul King on the back. You have the new plastic box of Cryptors, which look pretty much just like ghouls, but bigger. And they also make the Vargeist, and that's pretty cool. That's a dual kit to do that. The Vargolf hasn't changed. The Karn Wraith and the Tomb Banshee are the same plastic ones that were released a couple months ago. The Mortis Engine, like I said, is just the Coven Throne, another kit. So all in all, the models themselves look spectacular. I mean, there's a nice feel for this. Before I forget, the last January's White Dwarf wasn't really too cool. It was just commercial for the vampire counts, but it does have a really cool article how to paint aspects of the Coven Throne / Mortis Engine. So I recommend picking it up. It's pretty cool, and it does have some cool articles about how to base your armies and stuff. Not base them, but theme your armies. As for the way the vampire counts turn themselves, well, the Vargeist and the Crypt Hunters, or whatever they're called, they're pretty cool. They give vampire counts Monstrous Infantry, which is an 8th edition. It's one of those things that, besides large creatures and centerpiece models, 8th edition really seems to like to give an option for a, that Thunder Stomping Monstrous Infantry unit. So that's pretty cool that they have those. They got two units. I think they're a little bit better than the Felbats. I think they only included the Felbats because they already had them if people would bitch. The Bat Swarms, I'm glad to see they dropped the points in those, and they actually became a little bit more useful with the making people always strike last. That's pretty cool. And it's thematically really, really awesome, I think. The Hex Race, beautiful. I guess I'm going to have to learn how to paint Balefire. So, there we are. The feel of the book, it's pretty cool. They took away, when they first did the vampires, they had different bloodlines. Then they had the powers. Now they got the powers, but to kind of give them back a little bit of a bloodline feeling without doing it. They've given you the Coven Throne, which has three checks on it. One vampire, lord or vampire, two handmaidens. Most people are going to use the plastic vampires that come with those. So it'd be pretty cool. So they'd be a little bit like your Lemaea vampires. Of course, you got your Ghoul King, which is pretty sweet model on the Terrorgeist. And he's a Strigoi. Then all the other vampires, you can be your general. I would say Von Karstens are your same. They definitely took out the Necrarch or Neckarch vampires out of it a little bit of a feel. And they definitely made it so you can theme armies based around your feeling. Like if you take the Ghoul King, you can do a whole bunch of ghouls. That's sweet. You have the Crypt Hunters. That's pretty sweet. You use the new direwolves with the skin falling off and everything. Use the Vargolf, which I think is a viable option for any army you play with. I love the Vargolf. It's never going to change. The Hex Race, they can go pretty much anyway with vampires. Whatever feel of an army you want. Then they've given you the Skeleton Warriors and the two different heavy cav that are in it, the Black Knights and the Blood Knights, and give you a little bit more of a martial type feeling of, you know, like Blood Dragons or something, you know, or the Von Karsteins. You know, it could go back and forth. We're definitely going to see, I think, a lot of Banshees. A lot of Banshees screaming. You're definitely going to see a Mortis Engine or Coven thrown on the table. I mean, there's no reason not to. I think, in my first initial feelings while actually playing them yet, I think the Hex Wraiths are the actual unit of choice in the new army book, and that's really nice to see. I like the point drops and the skeletons, although 5 points, yeah, they're unbreakable and they cause fear. I really think 8th edition kind of nerfed fear. I'm not gonna back off on that. And I understand you gotta pay the points for being unbreakable, but you will lose combat a lot. It's gonna take some tricks in your army for real manipulations of the corpse cards to try and get your units to strike first. You're gonna have to waste your enemy's dispel dice so they can't, you know, like dispel the corpse cards every time you want to use them. The Mortis Engine's nice. Like I said, it's got the Banshee thing on it too, plus the being ethereal. The Black Coach is the same as it has been. It'll be popular choice for some people, won't be for others. The Black Knights, nice solid unit, and with the Grave Guard, it's nice to see that the points dropped a little bit. And God, I'm shooting off my ass right now. I think they went up in toughness, but if I'm wrong, correct me. If not, hey, I'm right. Let's see. Necromancers, I wish it would have been. I miss the days of 5th edition where I could run an army with a Necromancer. Praise Nagash. But, it is what it is. I don't know how I feel about this selection of vampire powers compared to the last one. Options are cool. Models are spectacular. They really are, minus the zombies. I'm not gonna lie to you, the zombies freaking suck. And buy another company's zombies that look better. That's all I'm saying. Ghouls are nice. They took away the ghoulkins, skeletons. Like I said, I wish. They're not 8 points, so that's good. They're not 9 1 with spears, so that's even better. They're 5 free spear upgrades, so that's going to be a little bit better. As for everything else, I think the army is, you know, with the addition of the monstrous infantry and the point reduction, I think it's going to play well. I mean, I would have liked to see the Dire Wolves drop another point or two. Ghouls, maybe 2 points. I really think that low initiative on army and having to really trick out this unit and that unit to work with this and this one to benefit that. Some people, it's gonna be daunting to actually run this type of army without learning the tricks first and stuff. It's definitely got me looking through where I'm gonna pull out my undead and go through and see what I'm gonna keep and what I'm gonna put up on eBay. I mean, because some of these new models, they're too fantastic not to run. Like the new Black Knights, awesome. Hex Wraiths, awesome. My old Karn Wraiths, pathetic old 5th edition Wraith models. I definitely like the new looks of the Karn Wraiths. Still like my Banshee, but I'm going to add one or two more, of course. My Vampire and Abyssal Terror, I'll keep them. Black Coach isn't changing. But it's going to make me buy a little bit more. So, I don't know. All in all, it's, I believe, not on my I'm biased. Okay, my biased opinion, I do think that this is a well-rounded, happy addition to 8th for vampire counts. I mean, I wasn't really happy when 8th came. It left me in a lot of turmoil. What's going to happen? Then I saw what happened in Tomb Kings. I still think Tomb Kings got made out a little bit better. A little bit. Especially with the Sphinx thing and stuff. It's a good book. Anyone looking, if anyone, you know, wants to start up vampire counts. They're not too hard to paint. I mean, you can get away easy with a base coat, dry brushes for the ghouls, base coat. Yeah, I mean, you can spray bleach bone from RV Painter and dip them in that tone for your skeletons. Bam, done. So, your core troops, easy paint, easy to get there. A lot of models you're going to need. Unfortunately, you're going to need lots of zombies because, you know, you're going to want to raise a freaking unit of zombies here and there. Other than that, it's definitely a character-driven army over top of a lot of other Warhammer armies, like one of my Ogre Kingdoms. And so that one's more of a troop-driven. I'm not really worried about a tyrant or anything. Of course, I got a fire belly in there. But vampire count, you're going to really worry about maxing out your heroes, because you need those heroes more so in a lot of other armies to bolster your units and everything. So, I don't know. It's going to be fun. You like vampire counts, I'd say go with it. They're not sparkling Edwards or nothing, so that's good. There's no werewolves running around, so that's even better because you don't, you know, in the whole Twilight thing. And that's my review so far on a vampire count book. So if you got any bitches or complaints, let me know. If you like what I did, let me know even more. You can drop me an email at seanhammer9@yahoo.com. Let's see. I'm going to probably just give it out at that for this episode. Probably talk about some Malifaux. So if you have any Malifaux questions or things you want to hear about Malifaux in the next episode of Sean Hammer, go ahead and shoot me an email. I'll make sure I read it, give some thought, can read it out on the air. If anyone wants to be on Sean Hammer, you have Skype and you want to be give your opinion on a 40K or fantasy or Malifaux, you know, shoot me an email. I'd love to have you as a guest host on Sean Hammer. I mean, I like having interaction with people and everything, especially from the fans, so just let me know. And that'll be it for today. And remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
The rose is dead, the bats have left the belt.